Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. It's amazing. It's going to be another amazing and awesome night right here on the program. Blog Talk is already starting. It's technical issues that we sometimes happen to have right here on the program. But anyway, tonight we're going to be talking about the music business. Is it a sprint or marathon? But before we get into the topic again, I'll cover the show. Lord, bless every ear and every mind that is tuned in and locked and loaded to our program. We ask that you bless them for as they quest to go into this business of music, as they venture into this program tonight, as is it a sprint or a marathon? And tonight we're going to discuss it, and we ask that you cover us as we do, and have everyone be respectful of others' opinion as we address the issues. Anyway, tonight, guys, we're talking about the music business. Is it a sprint or a marathon? As we all know, a sprint and marathon are two different types of running. The skill sets and training requirements are also different. Although one could argue both forms of running is a challenging task. Furthermore, it takes a special goal-oriented individual to conquer either of them. Tonight, we will compare the sprint versus a marathon as it applies to this business of music. And tonight, we also will be discussing why we think it's important that giving up, that it shouldn't be an option to you. That's as we're going to talk about this tonight. And I'm going to welcome to our show, one of our speakers who said she would like to speak also tonight is I'm going to bring in Joni. Joni, are you available? Tell us where you're calling in from and what's your viewpoint on tonight's topic. I'll put you back on mute for a moment, Joni. Raw Dog, are you there?
Oh, now you want to talk to me?
No, I wasn't sure if I was being heard because
I see the board. I know Joni's there, but it's
okay. Yeah. No.
Go stand in the corner. Okay, yeah, this is a real interesting subject because, everybody wants to be like, the lady in, Bewitched, be able to twitch your nose and it's happening. Well, a lot of great, very good artists and musicians and what have you have never made it to the top level. They might have touched it, but for some reason they fell back or what have you. It's the pulse of the music industry. Fans are fickle. Let's just call it like it. Today they like one type of music. Tomorrow they like another type of music. So what you have to understand is that, you got to be in it for the long haul. It's not necessarily, if you're thinking of being a star and on the big stage, well, hey, I put it like this, been there, been on the little, been on the big, and quit. Because what you don't realize is everything that comes with that, there is a toll taken on you, just like the carpenter, how many splinters can you take in a career? The steel worker, how many, pieces of metal do you carry around in your skin? So when you go to the airport, the metal detector goes off. There's drawbacks that you must look at. you know, because if you're just looking at the spotlight and what have you, you know, you're going to be disappointed because it's smoke and mirrors, you know, because the cost and the things that you will run into, the temptations, the usury, you know, fatigue factor, because remember, hey, as an artist, you're going to cross time zones, you know, and you're going to find that, you know, there is the good side that everybody talks about, but it's the other side that you need to be holding conversations about, because it's not all cracked up to be what you think it's going to be. All right, I'll give it back to you. That's my opening on the whole thing.
Well, the way I define the difference between a sprint and a marathon, I say a sprint is, and don't get me wrong, like I say, they both are challenging tasks, but a sprint is that thing where your preparation is setting yourself up for a short run, meaning it's going to be a quick thing to prepare for, the way you stretch, the way you set yourself up, exercise, is you're going to be running for speed and getting there the quickest, as quick as you can to win that race. And most sprinters are looking to come out on top, and they're competing with each other for the fastest speed.
Yeah, but see, what you're talking about is like, you know, one athlete eats a proper diet and what have you, and the next athlete takes steroids. You know, I hear what you're saying, but the reality of, I'll give you an example. Okay, you hadn't heard of Max Moore.
Can I finish that thought?
Let me finish, because I want you to think about what you just said. I'm being honest with you. Macklemore sprinted out there. You didn't know anything about him. He went global. He got rich. Alcohol, drugs came into his life, okay? Because to keep that marathon going, because you see, I hear what you're talking about, a sprint. I hear the difference. But in your career, let's say you're discovered early, before you have a mature mind, okay? The sprint is not always healthy in what you're looking at. You need to look for the longevity and your life going through that, the steps and what have you. Because you see, once the music's behind you, life is in front of you. All right, you go ahead.
Well, Rondo, actually, we're both on the same point and same page. I just hadn't finished my thought. What I was saying is the person who's doing that sprint, he's going basically for the speed. He's going for that quick run. In my comparison to that in the music business, it's that person who's looking for that hit and they're ready to run out. they're just looking for that one hit. So it'll make their life, and they don't care about that long haul career of making album after album to compete. Continue to compete for the rest of their life in this genre of music. A marathon, the ones who's running that marathon is preparing for the course of time of what it takes to get themselves started, to what it takes to market themselves, promote themselves, build a team, and do whatever it takes to keep it going for a success of success after success as they build a career in music. That's what a marathon, to me, in the music business is about.
And the sprinters crash and burn.
And sprinters, I believe, I truly agree with you that a sprinter crash and burn. My boy brought John Lowe on deck, and I'm not going to let him go without saying anything. John Lowe, you on deck, man?
Yeah. Hey, how y'all doing, man? Y'all got a great topic.
Good.
I see y'all digging down deep in it.
He keeps flipping the coin on me. He's heads, I'm tails, but we don't really. We're on the same coin, so you know, yeah, it's a good life.
Okay. Yeah. You know, like I said, you know, both of y'all got great points. You know, I look at Akon. I think Akon, I don't think he drinks or smoke or do anything. This young man been out there for a while, and he's doing great things now. He bringing solar panels over there in Africa. He got an initiative that he started. But I think, you know, that marathon with him is that I think Porter was mentioning about, you know, not trying to sprint out there and looking for that one hit wonder. So Akon, you know, looked down the road for the longevity, and you know, like I say, and he kept himself focused in life, and he knew what he wanted to accomplish in the music industry, and he knows what he's gonna take. You know, you can't run out there and, you know, just sprint, you know, a short distance and think that's all what it's gonna take. And I think my man Tyrese, I don't think he drinks. So. Or smoke or do anything with alcohol or drugs in their career. And that says a lot about the artists for not doing those things. And a lot of unsigned artists, they coming out there, you know, they already indulging in a lot of things already. They're already smoking, drinking. They spend the majority of their money drinking. Once they go to the studio, they have to smoke them one to feel the vibe or to be able to get the lyrics out, you know. Once, you know, you're going to come to a place in life that you're not going to be able to get to those things. Are you going to be able to perform without that to enhance you? I think Rudder was talking about steroids and gave the example about steroids and doing things natural, working on yourself. So, you know, there's a lot to think about once you're going to enter this industry. Where's your mindset? You know, like I said, that's the main point. You got to be focused in life if you plan on getting into this industry, because it's a lot of work. That's
well, it's amazing. It's amazing that, you know, y'all mentioned the steroids. And the steroids, is, as you say, is that comparison to those who are having a dependency to do their performance in order to get a short gain or a quick gain, they are to get control of themselves because they don't have complete control of what they're doing when they're out to perform. They may be taking speed, they may be taking, you know, some kind of drug to stimulate them or to take their mind off of what's before them. And in sprinting, in the run, I can't just say sprinting. I'll just say the athlete that choose to use steroids is compromising his ability to perform on his own without the dependency, because I won't say every sprinter uses, you know, some kind of substance in order to perform.
Well,
I wouldn't want to lead to that.
The music industry has had like artists like Ozzy Osbourne, you know, and he's not a hip hop artist, but he's burnt his brain. I mean, he slurs his words and he's very slow in his talking, and you can see the industry and the pitfalls that go with that, you know, because the people try to be characters when they are on stage performing, an entertaining character. And, you know, a lot of people doubt themselves because the lack of skills that they feel that this enhances them. You know, it gives them a better flow pattern or a better rhythmic point, or if they're able to vibe with the people in the room. Well, you know, I'm going to say this, that, you know, it might work the first time, it might work the second time, but it doesn't work the third, fourth, fifth, sixth time. It becomes something that becomes a weight on the artist. And I've seen them go through it, you know. I've seen the teetotalers that didn't drink, and they get out there and they start to perform in clubs and they'll have a drink, you know, and it gave them courage and it gave them, ooh, I'm ready, you know.
Giving that liquid courage. Exactly.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, the vocal cords. If you're not into alcohol, and, you know, mouthwash is what you've been used to when, you know, cleaning your breath and your throat and what have you. Well, guess what? Alcohol is in a lot of the antiseptic mouthwashes. So it's a point they start to becoming into having a drink. Or, you know, you'll hear them, you know. And that's what kind of trips me out about the artists that have made some money in this industry, and they're peddling alcohol. They're peddling the alcohol. Is that because they became, that was their necessary point of, I'll just have one martini before I go on. I do that before every performance. Okay. Is that their ritual? You know, I remember singers used to drink tea with lemon. You know, they'd have to have that before they went on stage. Habits are created, you know, because I'm going to tell you something. Artists have superstitions. That's just like an actor in their dressing room. You don't wish them good luck. You tell them, break a leg. You know, they are superstitious. Because with an artist, Murphy's Law is going to come in effect. Oh, I'm going to get a leg cramp. Oh, you know, I hope I don't get a headache. I hope it's not too smoky. I hope the sound system's going. I mean, all these things you become superstitious about. You know, people auditioning at the Apollo, they rub the rock before they hit the stage. You know, so what you have to realize is that, you know, when we start talking about a sprint and a marathon, in the studio, if you do it right and you create something, the shelf life of that can go forever. And you have to start thinking of longevity and your life. You know, yes, we want to make oodles of money. We want wheelbarrows full of it. But what are you giving up for that? You know, can the devil buy your soul? All right, back to you, man.
Well, I got to say this, man. First, I want to see, for those who are listening in by telephone or listening in by a website or so, I would like you guys to call in at 213-559-2995 to get engaged with tonight's conversation. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, all we ask that you do is press the number one. That will allow us to know that you'd like to be a participant in tonight's topic. Right now, if you'd like to engage with us, we for those who are on the phone now, just press number one, and we'll know that you also would like to participate. All right, and back to the topic. I'll say this, man. My question here is, Ronald, you mentioned Macklemore, and you mentioned his dependency. I got to be honest with you, I didn't know that he had kind of gone in that direction. And now, to me, based on what you said, he's that perfect example of what I would say is a sprint. One who sprinted to success. Got the mainstream, he got his, you know, got the big prize. And the point is, do you see longevity in what he's doing? And the other question is, who, if you were to give an example, who's an artist out there right now that you see who's on a marathon?
Well, let's put it like this. Time will only tell about Macklemore, because the drug abuse, the alcohol abuse, will affect his internal organs. But his excuse was running all over the world to make his concert commitments. And the drug that he mentioned was cocaine, which is an upper, and the alcohol was the balancing board on the come down from the cocaine. Okay, you know, so he was riding along up and drinking, so when it came out and he came down, it wasn't a depressing low. Now, you know, on a marathon, well, let's put it like this. Chuck D, Snoop Dogg, you know, they had their vices. Ice Cube, you know, we can keep going because they're finding that the cutoff age for hip-hop no longer exists, okay? It did. You know, people used to look, oh, you're too old to do that. He's too old. He should quit. Method Man, you know. These guys are coming back out with something good. They're trying to show the young artists, look, it's not that hard. Music is pleasurable. It's not supposed to bring anxieties. It's not supposed to announce you're a king. It's not to demean women and call them out of their names. People want to buy this. They want to vibe with it. They want to dance with it. They want to romance with it. They don't want to do all that other stuff. And see, that's why they're the icons, because guess what? They thought it out. They've watched the world. They did the protests against the police and what have you. Has it changed or is it still existing? That's what's making them relevant, because of the fact that, hey, it's truthful. Emotions are truthful. Experiences that they went through, you know, and what they said about the police. But we now have media. Everybody's got a camera. We're seeing it. You know, it used to be only a conversation, and everybody said, you're just making that up. Because who do they believe? They believe the police. Now they're showing the police in action. Rodney King, that was the first breakthrough. God bless the person that had a camera. We didn't ever believe it. How many times did they hit him when he was on the ground? What did NWA have to say about the police? They made us aware, but guess what? Rodney King, they showed it. It was a truth. You know, the thing about this music industry is real is real. You know, James Brown, King of Soul, okay? But music comes from the soul, whether it's of any genre. There is emotion and truth behind it that you can relate to. You know, it's, I guess you have to just put your soul out there and tell it like it is, you know. And there was even a song, Tell It Like It Is, you know, back in the day, you know. Now, you guys look it up, you'll find out, it told people to tell it like it is. Now we show it like it is. So everybody's starting to gravitate to hip-hop, but it's got to have reality and a purpose that it serves in their lives as they go out the door, or they're romancing, or what have you. You know, how many? Okay, when they started calling females bees on records, how many fights came after that by the wrong guy calling the girl the B word? You know. I think my old lady swung at me one time when I said, I'm just singing the song, you know. So come on now, you try singing it around your house.
did she miss or did she land a good one?
Oh hey, I duck and weave. Hey, I duck and weave, but she's short and fast. So you know you.
So she short and fast, but she went for the belly. Boom, boom, oh. Boom, boom, boom.
Hey. Hey. Poetic. You just told something. We just experienced something together. Your wife is fast also, huh? You know they don't go for the head shot.
You know where they really go. You know they really go. But it's too explicit for the air.
Yeah, but we only got two hands. One protects the face, the other protects the other. You understand what I'm saying? So they get the belly. Oh, you think you ain't gonna get it, huh?
Well, no. I wanna touch bases here, man, because let's go back to the archive of artists, and you, actually I think you were leading to it, but you mentioned Snoop Dogg, but you didn't mention Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre comes back after 16 years. My question is, was he really in hibernation all that time? Was he producing tracks? Was he continuously doing putting the artists out there? Is it something that he's just doing as a combat, or did he really? Realistically, there's a lot of things, people, a lot of artists that was born in the birth of his success. To name a few was you got Eminem, even 50 Cent came from that camp. So, like Dr. Dre, as far as I can see, this man is not really there for a quick sprint. I think he's been there for the long haul the whole time, producing tracks, mentoring artists, helping artists get there. Even though, the papers would make you think, he's got this comeback coming out after 16 years.
I got a question.
What's your thought?
Would you consider him a hype man rather than a front man as far as the lyrics?
He's pretty much a hype man. I mean, he's,
okay.
But the thing
now,
is,
man,
you gave
a good example.
But I would say this though. I would say this. He's a hype man, but he's a creative individual that put them on. I don't care
if
the hype man or not.
That's
what I'm saying.
He never stopped. So, you just never heard.
Definitely correct. Yeah, you didn't see him on the forefront.
Well, no,
but
he never stopped.
Several projects. Yes, that's my point.
And he's probably got tons of songs that you never have heard. Because
now let's go back to a Soulja Boy. A Soulja Boy. Soulja Boy was out in the forefront. He was in the limelight, but as an artist. But the question is, has he been behind the scene as well, producing other artists?
Do you think he's a better music beat from a producer than a rapper?
I'm sure that's his strong point.
Okay, so he followed the formula of a dance song that made me aware of him.
Yeah.
Other than that, I couldn't tell you what another song of his.
But you got to also look at now. How about Kanye West right now? Kanye West was behind the scenes for a long time. Then he came to the forefront as an artist. Do you think he's in this thing as to be an artist on a short run, or he's going to be a mainstream artist as long as he can ride that wave?
Well, I think he'll be institutionalized. Because the point that his brain is just a little twisted. He the way he's coming out and he's presenting himself, I think he's made a lot of mistakes. I mean, he had everybody stand up over, where was that, in England or what have you, and he would not perform until everybody was standing. And then there was one guy in the crowd that he wasn't standing, and so he said he wasn't going to go on until the guy stood up, and the guy couldn't stand up. He was in a wheelchair. See, you know, what about when the Grammys, when he went on stage and he said what he had to say? Now, here's the next trip. His woman. Okay? All right. I hope he has the wherewithal to get some mental help. Because if something goes wrong with his relationship,
you think
I don't
crack
know what
up.
Kind of Kanye we're going to see. You know, I just pray for him because he is a truly innovative lyricist, okay? Hey, he's done some good things in my book, okay? It's just the actions, I can't tell you if he's going to be in it for the long run, you know? I mean, look, Tupac's in it for the long run. Biggie, he's in it for the long run. They will always pull up a Tupac or a Biggie song. I mean, as long as hip-hop is going, to top some of the things that Tupac did and Biggie, okay, they brought out something that hasn't been replaced because they were
dynamic.
Hey,
Rado, before you go there, I want to pause for the calls for a second.
Not a problem.
And we're going to be back in just a moment, but definitely before you go there, the reason why I say that is because I brought up the examples of all of those who have had some success and some failures, some of it based on, I guess, drug abuse and whatever. I brought up that for a reason. When we come back, I want to talk about the attributes that you see in some of the people that we mentioned that was the part of that successful formula to what made them a artist that will stand with longevity, at least in your eyes, at least in your opinion. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio, and tonight we're talking about the music business. Is it a sprint or a marathon? We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first and stay on top of the competition. HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
You've got 5 minutes? I've got that celebrity interview. Hi, I'm Valder Beebe, host of The Valder Beebe Show. Join me daily for my new brand, That Celebrity Interview. I get the opportunity to chat with the world's most fascinating people. I interview actors and directors and entertainers, celebrities, and everyday people on important topics and issues and life-changing causes. My interviews are authentic, revealing, and personal with my guests, who are in a 21st century mode. They're either in studio, by phone, satellite, or in exotic locations. I've interviewed people in Istanbul, Israel, London, all across the globe. Tune in daily to That Celebrity Interview. Go to ValderBBShow.com for broadcast locations of That Celebrity Interview. I'll see you there.
All right, we're back, and you're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. The music business, is it a sprint or marathon? Just before we left and came back to left, we were talking about the success of those successful pattern of those who's already been successful. We've mentioned some successful artists. Basically, all of them had some form of success. Some of them had mentioned, was a part of, you know, what we consider a sprint run, got that hit and run. And others have been in it for the long haul. The question was the attributes, the successful attributes, what were they? What did you recognize in them that made them stand, that you would see in your opinion, that give them that longevity? Raw Dog, I merely cut you off before we went to the break, and I'm just going to come to you on that. I do want to bring in a guest as well after you've stated your points. Raw Dog, you now have the floor.
Well, you know, now, marathon, to me, is like a Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson passed away, but his music holds. and his children received what we might call Social Security. Okay? They received his pension. See, if you're in this for a marathon, you have to then understand, okay, if you're a performing artist, you're only going to get income as long as you can perform. But if you're recording and a performing artist, you will, and you put something in a production that the people embrace, and the sales are just good and steady, you know, the resurgence of music. You know, that's why I am for sampling, due to the point where there are great artists that have passed away. They did a sample of Otis Redding. They do samples of James Brown. You know, they do samples of Luther. You know, this keeps the artist's talent still in the minds of those that didn't experience them. A Mahalia Jackson sample, you know, or a Billie Holiday sample. The marathon. You see, that makes people curious about those artists that you made them aware of. That directs them over to, oh, let me go hear this. You know, there's something in this music that a legacy of income for your children and what have you. You have to look at the retirement point, because remember, you're self-employed. The studio has always been one of the money winners. You know, people want to remember artists, so they will buy what the artist produced that became popular. They'll want to collect it. You know, they'll want to have it, you know. So when we start talking about a marathon, the marathon is, if this is your career, your life career, you have to look at, in that long haul, you don't want to wind up broke. An example, Sammy Davis Jr. danced and performed, but he didn't have the record sales. So when he got sick, it took all of everything that he had accumulated, because he didn't have that pension, that medical, and all those things that go along with getting older. He had to pay the cash that he had earned along the way. You know, so when you start talking about this marathon and what have you, business, the music business, you must be a business, and you must handle your things so that you look at it for later on, not just this minute what you're making, but down the road. All right, back to you, Poetic.
All right. I love that, Raw Dog. I love that. I'm going to welcome in, I guess, and then John, I'm going to be bringing you in thereafter. We got Fat Man, all from the West Coast. Fat Man, please introduce yourself to our audience, where you calling in from.
My name is Fat Man, originally from Detroit, 313. It's out here on the West Coast, still representing the 313 to the fullest, you know what I'm saying? Been in this music industry since Motown. You know, my background goes back with, you know, my mom and stuff like that, was a background singer, Diana Ross, people like that there, you know what I'm saying? So, I understand what you guys are talking about, everything, but you guys got to realize this, right? You know, and a lot of these artists don't realize this. It's a lot of stuff made these days. The internet is vast and far and wide. An artist can make his money if he stays consistent and if he stays hungry enough. You don't need a label anymore. You can do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's all on the marketing and the branding. Just like Raw Dog said, you know, they're looking for that pension and everything like that. Well, Raw Dog, if a lot of these artists would get up on their artistry and get their copyrights, if they know and read the fine print, they would know that BMI offers an insurance plan and, you know, vouchers when you're performing and this, that, and the other, to where you can get certain discounts with food and everything. People don't even know how much BMI and ASCAP is connected with the neighborhood Ralph's grocery store and things like that, just for you artists to make it easier when you're touring. But people don't get our people, artists, and I do say our people, don't get it. It was an old saying back in the day, if you want to hide something from a black man, put it in a book. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that's what Big Mama used to tell me. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these brothers...
Don't get me wrong. That's not just a tale in your area. That lets you know that tale is profound throughout the world.
And I've seen it. I've seen it myself when just like you said before, when we sitting up in the studio and y'all done bought all this kush and y'all done bought all this liquor and this, that, and the other, but you ain't took 5 minutes to go on that expensive computer that you got and log on to ASCAP or BMI, sign up for free, and you can do your copyrights and this and the other right there in the studio, run off copies. Everybody
ASCAP isn't free, BMI is, though. Right.
Oh, okay. Well, no. From what I hear, both of them are.
Well, ASCAP, from what I understand, to be honest with you, is I think there's a $50 fee for the artist, $250 fee for the publishers.
Okay.
But I may be wrong.
Okay. No. Because I remember. Okay, then. Well, if that's the case, yeah. Because I paid $150 for my publishing company through ASCAP. So yeah. I mean, through BMI. So, yeah, you are right. You know, what's $150 when I'm spending $400 on an ounce of kush?
Yeah, and C-Sack is also free.
Yeah,
you need to move up to Washington State.
You know, I mean, so it gets to the point to where either you go sink or you go swim, especially for the unsigned artist. But it's so much more unsigned artists can do now. This is what I don't understand, and I try and help and guide artists in the right direction, because I was an artist. I still consider myself an artist. I'm just seasoned, that's all. It's just I went through a different doorway than everybody else did. You know what I'm saying? But you kind of get artists to go, why would you pay? Because it gets to where people got to learn how to cut out the middleman. Why would you pay Tom, Dick, and Harry to shoot a video with all these cameras when you can go over here to the little Beastie Boys that's been in Hollywood shooting videos with iPhones and doing first-run movies versus $2,400 versus $900. I don't think our people understand on doing the math. You have to cut corners in this business. You can still get a professional product done. To stop running to old boy and what Pookie said in the hood, and they said in the other, sometimes he can't go on Pookie's word in the hood. Pookie's brains is fried. He's been in the studio all day. He's been smoking. He's been listening. He's bass all day. You be expecting Pookie to put a mix on your music, and you wonder what sounds off. You know, well, yeah, he'd have created the beat. He'd have sat there and smoked it and drank, and he'd have tried to mix it. Then he'd have sat there and smoked it and drank. Then y'all recorded it and sat there and smoked it and drank. Pookie fried. Let Pookie get some rest.
Hey, Pookie do get a rest.
Somebody over there tickling John, boy.
Yeah. Pookie,
I mean, he's thinking the truth. You know, it's the truth, man.
John,
I know, you know,
Pookie too, haven't you?
Yeah, man. He don't work on my thing so much. He just, I can't. He start asking me questions, man. I don't know.
I know a couple of Pookies. You know what I'm saying? And I have to tell brothers, I said, it's cool if he got the right equipment and go over there and record your vocals, take it to somebody that ain't never heard it before, and let them put a mix on it. Pay that money to get you a good mix. You know, engineer to put a mix on it. Because your homeboy just going to keep telling you, yeah, that's tight. Yeah, that's tight. Yeah, that's tight. Yeah, that's tight. Take it to somebody that's going to be honest and go, no, that ain't tight. No. That's off. Let me turn this up. Let me tweak this. Everything. So, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, history repeats itself. You know, I mentioned the Ozzy Osbournes and everything like that and this and the other. And it's like, yeah, you do. You build a pattern of what you go. It's not your certain ritual. It's just the thing of what's the norm in that industry, especially the underground industry. Everybody sitting in the parking lot, and everybody smokes and everybody drinks. And you wonder why you get up there and you forget what you up there doing. So you get in front of the light, and you're drunk, you drink, you smoke, this and the other, and you're sweating.
Yep.
People don't really, you know, it gets to where we have to go all the way back to artist development.
Yeah.
I do agree on that.
Yeah, you made a whole lot of great points. And I mean, see, talent speaks for itself. But, you know, the thing that these unsigned artists got to do, they got to change their mindset and to learn the business, what it's going to take to get there. Just like Rada was speaking earlier about Michael Moore. You know, he knew the process, but once the condition of the inside this industry and what he expected, it wasn't what he really expected. It was more that he could endure. Then he started breaking down and shutting down. He needed something to enhance him to deal with this, with the condition of this industry.
He was only made for one hit. He was only made for a one-hit song. It's the whole demeanor, the way he was introduced, and everything like that. And people don't really understand, when he came out, he was popular on the gay scene. That's how he got his YouTube videos got him noticed, because he was wearing the nostalgic clothes from the thrift store and this and the other and everything. Yeah, just like you guys said before. Yeah, people want to get up on stage and portray an entertainer. They want to catch the eye. They want to hold their attention. The greatest entertainer that I thought that could hold a crowd's attention, and I know this is old school, Roger Troutman in the Zap. Roger Troutman in the Zap, back in the day, bands were performing, when you went to concerts and they had a show.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? That man would hold, would hold your attention from the time he got on, stage. He went from Heard It Through the Grapevine all the way down to Computer Love, and your eyes ain't left the stage.
Yep.
It's not that anymore.
Well, he was surrounded by other good musicians. I mean, they weren't slacking at all.
Well, no, you couldn't. Not then. But
well,
now,
you know, now here's something funny. This is not that you're old school, I'm old school. If the performer didn't break out in a sweat, you didn't feel you were getting all he could give.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I remember James Brown. He had to change outfits.
Yeah. Yeah, because he'd be just sweating out. They didn't come out there and put that tape on him for nothing. Yeah, that was show-wise and this and the other. But, yeah, he didn't want his body temperature to overheat. It was just a good look.
You remember when his hair used to fall down?
Fall down, yeah. Them curls would fall out his head.
Yep.
All of that, you know what I'm saying? And everything.
Exactly. But see, you don't get that out of the young artists anymore. You don't get that. It's like the heart is missing. Yeah, they're going through the words, but there's no reality. You don't feel that this is coming from the inside of them. You just feel like, okay, it's just a bunch of words. You know,
Holy Bay, this is, and you all know this yourself. This is why the industry don't do CD deals anymore. They only do singles. They barely do that.
Yeah.
And before they even do that, first thing they're gonna want from you. And this is what artists don't realize. Stop giving them what's your fan base and where is your fan base at and this that, and the other. Then you give up your fan base. Then what the hell they need you for?
Yeah.
That's like back in the day when they used to record on the reel to reel. If they get that reel, it was done.
Yep.
You can't duplicate that. You can't duplicate a reel. Same thing. They don't understand that.
When Poetic put this up and he said sprint or marathon, at some point in time, entering and wanting to be part of the music industry, you're going to have to adapt. You may not want the spotlight. You might have thought it in the beginning, but you find that the consistency of your employment, and I call this a job, because they've got to understand it is a job. It's about your earning power. Where do you fit in? You know, you may have had that dream of being the lead singer, but, you know, the Temptations, they changed lead singers quite a bit.
Right.
But they still made money. They kept their jobs, you know. And this is what you have to realize and put yourself in the mindset. I want to do a job in the music industry. Do I fit in as the front man? Do I fit in as the background vocals? You know, when the time comes or I evolve into that front man like a Teddy Pendergrass.
Right.
We didn't know his name when he was Harold Melvin. We thought he was Harold Melvin.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and when we found out Harold Melvin was in the background or playing an instrument, and it was Teddy Pendergrass.
Yep.
You fit in so you can earn in this music industry. Maybe you got to be a hype man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
As long as you're getting paid and it's a job, Flavor Flav looks like he's one of the happiest hype men you ever met.
Yeah. And everybody ain't meant to be Jay-Z.
That's right. And so if you have the heart and want to be, don't look at it as though you're belittling yourself by sharing the stage and getting paid. Because at the end of the night, once the electricity's cut off and everything is packed up, it's about, ooh, how much do you have in your pocket?
Right.
I did that through the music. We performed tonight. You ain't got to tell them what you did.
Right.
Hey, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, you made a good point when you said earlier, you know, about Sammy Davis. You know, he was dancing just because he was dancing in the front and everything, and he looked like he was having a good time. Sammy wasn't getting paid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it just shows you how history repeats itself, because I don't want to give up the end of the movie for the people that ain't never and haven't seen Straight Outta Compton, but the moral to the story is the same thing like the Sammy Davis Jr. story.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And everything. And people didn't catch that. And just like you said, it took all what he had to survive.
Yep.
Because he was dying.
That's it. And you know, the thing, he was a great entertainer. Sammy was a great entertainer.
Oh, boy.
You know, I don't think he turned down a gig. You know,
nope.
But it's just the point that the longevity of it, that's what got him, is because he didn't plan it as a business. And he didn't, let's put it like this, everybody makes mistakes. Maybe his investments, where he invested his money his money, were incorrect. But he didn't have that mindset because he was an entertainer.
Entertainer.
That's his love, you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, I've
that's
met people that, that, that,
that's where they take advantage of you at. That's where they take advantage of you at. They take advantage of you because that's your love, and they know you're not going to pay attention to this. You're not going to pay attention to that. And everything. One person to go, no, let me take that and let somebody else look at it. Then it's like, well, no, why you want to do that?
Yeah.
And so that's our downfall.
That's why it's very important to have a team around you and somebody that you can really depend on, that really that's going to, you know, have your back, got your best interests. And I think that's getting back to something you said earlier there, Pat, is that you can't go there with Pookie now and all those people with their brain fried to take care of business.
Yeah.
You got to surround yourself with people that know what's going on inside the industry to explain this stuff to you and to really be hard on you and to let you know not to go down this road. It's not good for you.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I love about Hip Hop National Radio. You get people on this show like yourself come on here and give this information to these young unsigned artists. They're trying to give them a trail to go down, a pathway to use everything, you know, make a check. It's a lot of money out here to be made, but you got to know how to make it. Yeah. You got to be willing to drop your pride and, you know, like I say, and do what it takes to get a check.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, and you got to. You got to research this industry and you know, real think. Whatever you need to do. This is an entrepreneur aid for people out here to make things work. You know, you don't, like you said, you don't have to have a record deal to make it. If, you know, if the music is hot, if you organize, people will buy your music.
Yeah, exactly.
But you got to get somebody out there to promote you and make sure things get taken care of the right way and the legal way, with your copyrights right. and everything, make everything in order for you. And like I say, and that's one thing I love about Hip Hop National Radio, is that they give this information to these kids straight in their face, the way they need it. And they really need to pay attention and use this platform to get them to the next level, to their new fan base. But, you know, like I say, you know, it's a lot of knowledge that come through this show here. And, you know, I just hate for the young unsigned artist doesn't take advantage of it.
Yeah, well.
Now I gotta tell you guys something. You know, the thing about it is that the independent artists can have price fluctuations on their product.
On their product.
Yeah, you know, I went to California and I was down walking Venice Beach, and it was one of the best experiences. I ran into so many independent artists selling their CD.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you have to think, this is marketing. This is something that, as long as they have the copyrights and everything, and a lot of them don't, a lot of them are calling a mixtape, and they're making money, but your price can fluctuate. You know, they're actually great barter people. You know,
uh-huh.
It's like, you know, they start off and say, hey, $5.
Yeah,
they go, no. And say, okay,
like,
what you going to give me?
Yeah.
They're not half the money.
You know, and they got to realize that, you know, the avenues like, you know, this show and a couple of shows that I do and things like that, it's like, yo, man, we're able to do something that major radio stations want to do, and that's break unsigned artists. And we can play street version, street edits, whatever, I mean, all of that. You know, this thing about what we do with this internet radio, and so I hear what you're saying, but it's like when you sit on a computer all day, it's like you never think to research what you're doing because everything you need is on the internet.
That's true. You can get $2 from China, somebody buying it.
I mean,
you know?
You can get in touch with so many DJs now. They even got it to where Facebook, when you type it out, it will spell it in a whole totally different language. I mean, if somebody just really want to get their grind on, you know what I mean? But like you said, it takes a team for someone to be successful. And
you know what? Hey, Fat Man and John, where's Poetic?
I don't know.
He's not talking to us. Are you mad at us, Poetic? He must be. All right. Well, hey, you know what? He gave a great, great question for this show. The music business, is it a sprint or a marathon? John, is it a sprint or is it a marathon? Yes or no?
Well, I don't know. It's come down to the individual, what you want. It's a marathon for the one that's want to be in it for the long run, that's really want to be successful in this industry. But if you playing and joking about it, not serious, it's just going to be a sprint. So it really comes down to the individual.
Okay. Now, I can understand what John said, because John is a youngin', fat man. Is it a sprint or a marathon?
It could be a marathon. Like, I agree. It depends on the individual. It's how you take the game. How you take it and run with it. I mean, it's wide open. Unsigned artist scene is wide open. Who's front runner? You can sit back and probably name at least five or six out of your state, out of your city alone. So it's gonna be a marathon if you walk it right.
Well, I got a question for you. How old were you before you started playing music? How old were? What was the age you started?
I was like 13, 14.
He had to look back and go, dang.
So you've been in it, and
it's been a marathon.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been in it since, oh, God.
Yeah, you too, huh?
Yeah, you heard me called on Jesus because that's how long it seems like.
Yeah, that long.
The success comes from the participation, I think. Rather than the lights and the stage, you know, participation is where you get that satisfaction from. It's like a good woman, you know. And having it as a live point or on a production. And I've gotten to the point. I'm 65, so I'm older in age. Okay, you was talking Motown, and I remember the day when those guys looked young. But the thing about it is that, you know, I see it and I go, I would have loved to, but as I saw the tragedies going along, I pulled further and further back and said, hey, you know, Otis Redding got killed in an airplane. You know, you start to see how the casualties go. You know, and you go, I don't know if I want that life. I want a longer point. And then when the computers came out, and you could do it, you could set up your own studio.
That was like
a blessing from God. I mean, it was like, I'm taking the middleman out of this.
Exactly.
And so the young folks have such an opportunity.
Yeah.
Just think back. If we'd have had that same opportunity, a computer, we don't have to pay studio the tape. We don't have that big charge. Because, you know, the studios were charging $200 an hour.
Oh, of course. Easy.
Yeah, you know, and that's only 1 hour.
That was only 1 hour. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so see, you know, it was like beyond the rainbow if you had the dreams of trying to get a product out there, you know.
Right.
And so nowadays, a computer, and as inexpensive as they are, you know, to have a computer and how to start setting up, and you can actually get the gratification of composing or being a lyricist and what have you, and now you can send those files out to someone that can master them.
Right. You know, overseas now. You can. I mean, it's so vast and so wide right now, and it's like you're not even really looking to see what's in front of you and taking advantage of it, because a lot of these cats is fresh out of, you know, what is that, Full Sail and all of that, you know, these schools, and they looking to do stuff on GP, like you say, you got to build a team, you know what I'm saying? Start putting your feelings out. Yeah, I'm looking for graduates. Work on an internship. You know what type of knowledge they got coming out of them schools, and you doing stuff in the hood, and you can take it and send it to them, and then they're going to take it and remix it and put their ear to it, because they want to be down with the hip-hop and they want to do hip-hop music and everything like that. And people don't understand, these artists don't understand how much you have at your disposal for basically for free if you got a mouthpiece and a negotiation and know what the point system is.
Oh, yeah. But see, there's the whole point. This music business, if you're going to get in it, you must realize you're going to have to know the business point and understanding, you know, a deal may sound good, but may not be a deal. You have to have people that you can consult with that are outside of the people that are making the offer, because, you know, two heads are better than one. And if you got a team, you got five heads better than one, you know? The thing about it is that someone said that's why they like to have the young artists, like a TLC, who went through, you know, Babyface and L.A. Reid and what have you, and the contract that they signed. It wasn't the contract.
It wasn't the contract. Yeah. I remember a label told me that wasn't a contract, that was a letter of intent. I said 5 pages.
You got tired after the first three, and
percentage, but that was a letter of intent. Okay then. All right. No worries.
They always tell you, oh, take your time and read it through.
Mm-hmm.
That phrase is supposed to tell you it's all just standard. Everybody signs this type of contract.
Yeah, it's regular.
They suck you in with kindness, and then when it comes time for the money, they slap you like a fool, you know, because what's your hand out for?
Right.
You got paid.
Exactly.
You know?
Look at you and say it's called recoupment.
Yeah.
We love to see you on these 13 country tours and this and the other and everything like that, but ours come off the top.
Exactly.
You
and
sell
you know
out
they're a financial institution with the highest of interest rates for what they invest in the artist.
They don't even have a payment plan.
They have a grab it, slap you plan. We're going to get ours before you get yours.
They count up their money at the end of the night, and they count up their money at the end of the night. They stand right there like, okay, our representative will be there to get, we take a certain percentage off every show.
Well, now here's I had a partner that's niece was part of Conscious Daughters out of Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a little notoriety and what have you. They got signed to a label.
Right.
And then the label dropped them. Well, they didn't earn any real royalties because the contract that they had signed wasn't in their favor. They got what is that called when they give you the money up front? They give you
advancement.
They got an advance of
$50,000. They got their advancement on the future sales of music.
Yeah. So they got that when they signed the contract. And they went out and bought BMWs and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, when the tour was done and they were dropped from the label, there was no additional checks.
No. Uh-uh.
And they had to get jobs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they probably was in the rear.
Most likely they was in the rear.
They was like, you owe us $20,000.
Yeah.
And they don't know. Let's come back with what you just said, that recouple. Yeah, because your next album that you make, if you still didn't make them payments, they have the opportunity to get some of that money off of your next album. It doesn't make a difference if you inside with somebody.
Or if you just don't make one and you get a square job, they will take you to court and get a judgment.
Oh, yeah, they're going to get it one way or another and everything. It ain't like you go back out of a contract, you know, even though you got dropped. They're going to be like, yeah, you owe us. Because now it ain't we was backing you for the label. Now it's a bill. We helped you record this.
Yes.
Yeah.
You owe us for the studio time now.
Now, how did they do that? Page 34, section 2.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, why do you have that on page 1? It's on page 34.
Page 34. Section C in the right-hand corner.
They definitely need to learn about a certain percentage of what they get off their record sale. You know what I mean? Hey, a lot of the young artists need to know about this type of stuff, about the business part. Royalties and percentage and how the sale goes and all this kind of stuff. This is the legal part of the they do not really get into. And this is the part they really do need. This is the part that sank them of not knowing.
Just who owns the masters of what they do? What if they're the ones that provided the artist provided the lyrics, but they produce the music? The artist needs to own the rights to the lyrics. See, there's different catch-22s. And the artist needs to know what they're bringing and supplying. Are they just supplying a voice and the label's giving you the words and the lyric, the music? Well, you know, then you're a puppet, okay? You're going to earn less because you didn't bring anything other than a voice to what they wanted to put out there. You got to watch it.
Yeah, you got to watch it.
Because go ahead, John.
Because it's just like your producers that produce all the music for you. They can sell your masters without your really consent, because you got the lyrics, but they can sell the masters. So it's a lot of things they need to take in consideration about this industry and really dig down deep and find out what's going on about the business part. Because that's the part I start focusing on, is the business part of it. That's the reason I started participating with this show, Hip Hop National Radio, because I needed to learn the business part. If I'm planning on being a manager or whatever I need to do, because the guys got talent, because the talent going to speak for themselves. But the business part of it is what's going to get them paid.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt you. You know, I wish we could go back to, you remember when they used to do the music seminar?
I'm reading right now. It says, we are currently experiencing an issue with the host and guest lines. Our engineers are working to resolve them at this time. Please watch for updates. This is a message by Blog Talk. So those who are hearing me under the sound of my voice now, it's out of our control. Hip Hop National is now subject to Blog Talk Radio's issues. So it's an issue out of our control. Unfortunately, it affects tonight's show. For those who can hear, if you guys cannot hear me, I really can't hear anyone. I'm not going to end the show because you guys may still be live on the air. Anyway,
I can hear you.
He couldn't hear you, fat man. You were getting ready to say something.
I was okay. Well, the devil is alive. you know, so we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Anyway, you know what I'm saying? No, I was saying I wish we could go back to the days where they used to have the music seminars and the music conference, where we used to get the meat and potatoes of the music business, point systems and things like that, because they would bring in the prominent people, the real people that was working in the industry, not some of the music seminars that they try and pull out here in Las Vegas, to where you pay such an astronomical amount of money and you don't get what you're supposed to be paying for. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
get a showcase, you get a showcase. You know, I'm cool. I've seen every artist perform in Vegas. I don't want to see no more artists perform in Vegas. I want to know how to expand and move around and everything. And artists need to understand that too. You got to get out of your element and move around and go do other shows in other places. You just can't, there's only so much you can do in your hometown until people start getting tired of you.
That's true.
Yeah.
You get tired of them, too, as an artist.
Yeah, you get tired of them, you know what I'm saying, and everything. And it's like, okay, man, you know, and everything. Let's move around. Let's take this song somewhere else, or let's send this song somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? I just got to stop dropping a new CD every week. Because it's like, I never heard the first one, so how could I hear number 32, 34?
Right.
CD, you drop it? Okay, then that's fine. You got your own distribution right there yourself. If you can drop that many CDs, then what do you need? It's kind of like, what do you need me for?
Right.
Yeah. I just need to know the process to get it out there.
Yeah.
You
know, so, I mean, we do. We have to teach these artists. I guess that's what I do now, and I guess that's what we're here for. But
yeah,
you know.
But I
because
think,
hip hop
you know,
is.
Go ahead, John.
Go ahead, Rod.
Well, you know, I think all of us are here out of a point of wanting artists to hear the truth, and we're looking for that one artist that asks the right question. will be there to help them, you know. But if there's so many of them, we can't figure out who has the right head on their shoulder. Go ahead, John.
I mean, I think you said it all right there and there. you gotta make music your business. And that's the thing. So one thing I did, I started reading this book about this attorney of law talking about the business inside the industry, so that I can learn. And you said a wonderful thing, Rondell. How can we put our credibility out there and we doesn't know what type of artist you are, where your mindset is, what you're trying to do? Are you committed? It's a lot of questions. That's why we try to get them to call into the show and participate so we can find out who you are, what you are, which direction you trying to go, and what you want. We don't know what, we can't read your mind if you're not saying anything. We hear your music, but we need to hear you. And like I say, we're trying to get you ready for the process to be in this industry. If you can't deal with the process, you definitely would not be able to sustain from the conditions that will be put on you. So your mindset got to be together.
Yeah. And, yeah. Hey, well, listen, fellas, you know, I gotta go. I've enjoyed y'all, man, and everything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, God bless you, man. And you know what? Yeah. I knew you were in Vegas. You didn't say it really out front, but hey, I'm glad you came back. God bless you, man. Hey, we missed you.
Yeah.
And, hey, we'll be coming over. We know you got a show going on. Why don't you tell them about your show?
Right now I'm doing the Keep It Real Morning Show. Every morning on Blog Talk Radio from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. You know what I'm saying? And we tackle all types of topics and, you know what I'm saying, community issues and everything like that. And that's one thing artists need to realize, is they get back out in the community. That makes you more relevant than it does on Facebook.
I hear you.
You know, yeah.
But
so, yeah, man, you guys got another show, and I'll be more than happy to come on, man, and share some more thoughts with you guys, man. It's been a blessing.
One of these days, I'm going to show up in Vegas, man. I'm going to look you up. I'm going to call you first.
I'll check you out, man.
God bless you.
All right, man. God bless you, too.
Man. Have a great night, man.
You too.
John, you know, the young people, you know, if they understood, just like, you know, We had Fat Man, and he has another show. And, yes, you know, he's trying to get a group of listeners. We can still network together because we're trying to achieve one goal. And that's what, you know, the hip-hop people, I wish they understood that. You know, do you find that to be an issue that, you know, attitudes in working to get to the same point? You might have a producer, but an artist doesn't like him or thinks less of him, and you know, but he's got the right track for that artist. You know, there's a push and a pull, and the alpha dog when it comes to males. Do you find that to be an issue in trying to get to the same goal, a common goal of being in this music industry?
I think you said something earlier, Raw Dog. I think it was on the other show. People, ego, get in their way. They don't want to be in the background. You know, like I say, you use that example by Teddy Pendergrass. What he did was, you know, he did his job. He played drums and did all that. Once that opportunity came to him, you know, he had to stay humble. You know, once that opportunity came and presented itself, he was ready for it. So the thing with these young artists is that they're already angry in life. They got so much anger issues dealing with life itself, and they don't know how to communicate with people. They don't know how to talk or work things out. And that's another thing that the label going to be trying to check out about these artists. How well do you work together with their peoples? Because they're going to have artists, signed artists, and they're going to want you to feature on their songs and stuff like that. But if you can't work alone, if you can't work, get along with people who you work with, that's going to put tension in their workplace.
Yeah, but and you know, John, you know what? You're talking about males now. I got a trip. You on the internet? You heard about the little riff going between Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But yet they performed together.